Okay, wonderful. We're recording. So, welcome. I'm so glad you're here for our third online facilitation bonus call. We're going to be doing some big work today. We're going to do a ceremony today, as I promised. It was just the full moon, and I know that a lot of people have been, if you follow astrology, a lot of people have been impacted by this one. It's been kind of a doozy, so we're going to be doing some work around it. But whether or not you're an astrology person or not, there's going to be a lot for you to receive here in our time together today. You'll love the inner work that we're doing. And that we'll do this call very much like we did our first online facilitation call. So I'll spend about an hour leading you through an experiential online experience, whatever you want to call it. We'll do our circle. We'll be in that sacred space for about an hour. And you'll have an opportunity to both do some inner work for yourself as well as just experience, I'll try and do some different things from last time. So just so you can experience, I can model for you different ways of facilitating online. And then after that, hopefully we'll have a nice amount of time to debrief. We'll move more into thinking mode and coach mode. We'll have some time to debrief and to break down all of the curriculum and facilitation pieces from the ceremony. So I invite you to get settled in. Do whatever you need to do to really bring yourself fully present to this time that we're going to have together. Close your door, turn off your phone, move away from the computer. It's so easy to get distracted. So whatever you need to do. And also make sure that you have, I asked you to bring a couple of things. You'll need a candle and salt and oil. And if you don't have all or one of those things, it's okay. You can improvise. And I'll either give you instruction how when we get there, or you'll kind of know how when we get there. But if you can gather a candle and some salt and oil, it can even be like olive oil or coconut oil. It doesn't have to be a fancy essential oil or anything like that. Okay, and so with that, we'll begin to step in to our sacred time and space together, and I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes, to feel the ground beneath you, and to give yourself the gift of connecting inwards right now, inhaling and opening up, taking in exactly what you need right now, exhaling and letting go. Inhaling, opening up, exhaling and releasing. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. To remember your body. Using the breath to connect deeply with yourself. and your inner wisdom and your intuition, and you don't need to do anything to connect in these ways, but simply just to be. As you breathe, maybe starting to notice the air around you, the atmosphere around you, and maybe starting to sense in that air around you, that atmosphere around you, that environment, maybe starting to sense that spirit is there with you. And as you breathe in this way, just taking a moment right now to notice where in your body you need the most love right now. And just placing a hand in that area and sending some love to yourself. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in, and then slowly, slowly, slowly allowing your eyes to open and letting them rest on something in the room that you're in. Could be an object, a vase of flowers, a couch, or maybe it's the way the light is coming in through the window or a crack in the ceiling. Whatever it is, allow your eyes to settle on a detail. And take a moment and just enjoy that detail. See it. Maybe you've never noticed it before, a certain pattern on a furniture. Whatever it is, just take it in for a moment. And this is the moment, if you have a candle, we'll light our candles together. I'll light mine. And if you don't have one, this can be just as meaningful. Just see yourself lighting a candle. And so together, let's all light our candle as a symbol of really bringing yourself to circle. And with this flame, we bring ourselves fully present to this moment. With this flame, we honor our mother and her mother and her mother before and all of the mothers and the grandmothers, and the sisters, and the aunties, and the friends, and the women. With this flame, we honor the women who lit fires to feed their families, who lit fires to warm their communities, who lit fires to remember the fire that they hold inside. We honor these women and we ask that they be with us on this very auspicious moment in time. So, on this last Monday evening, just 2 days ago, at approximately 11 p.m. Eastern, the moon was full in all of her glory. And if you saw her in the sky, you saw her in her fullness, completely ripe, completely mature, overflowing, her light shining so brightly. It was just 2 weeks ago that we were all together, and the moon was dark in the shadows, resting, waiting to begin again, to regenerate again, to grow into fullness again. And we were able to experience that, whether we saw her or not in the sky, we were able to experience that on Monday. The power of the full moon is usually potent for 3 days, so we're still in that space. That space of fullness, that space of ripeness. For millennia, the moon has been revered and honored and held sacred as a reminder. She was a sacred reminder. Whether we still have our wombs or not, whether we're menstruating or not, that as women, we are daughters of the earth. That we have the magical ability to begin again each month, to fill ourselves up and nourish ourselves to fullness each month. That we have the magical ability, if we so choose, to be seen and to shine each month. She reminds us, the moon, that it's our birthright as women to shine fully and wholly and beautifully as she does, to be in our full expression. And for millennia, the full moon has been a moment for women to gather, to come together as sister community, to put aside the daily distractions of life for a little bit and step into sacred space in order to honor our inner cycles that can be mirrored through the moon phases. We've gathered in order to connect deeply with ourselves and our desires and in order to learn more about our true nature. The full moon is an auspicious moment every month to harness the power of the planets and to direct that energy towards our goals and our desires. And the full moon is also an auspicious and very, very powerful moment to release. She is just at her fullness, and starting now, she's going to begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller, wane and wane and wane, until in 2 weeks she'll be new again. And just like she releases, we have the power to let go of what no longer serves us. And this is a beautiful time of the month to initiate that. And on this particular full moon, the moon finds herself in the very fiery astrological sign of Aries. The moon is in Aries. Aries on this full moon, Aries is the first sign in the zodiac. It's like number one. It is the life force itself, the will to live. Think of a baby coming out of the womb and saying, here I am, right? I learned this once, and it still to this day just amazes me when babies come out vaginally from the womb. A dose of adrenaline is released in their system. They need that adrenaline for that final push to come out. that adrenaline, that I am, that will to live, that is Aries. That is the ram, which is the symbol of Aries. Just think about the ram with her horns moving into any situation, head first, rushing into it, proclaiming, here I am. Aries, because of her life force, because of the ram's, you know, going straight in and proclaiming herself, making no apologies for herself, Aries is very much about independence, is very much about being an individual, individualistic, is very much about being daring and decisively bold. Right? You need all of this to come into this world and to birth your projects, to start new things. And of course, if you are daring and independent and decisively bold and willing to proclaim your individuality, then what is required for Aries is courage. Courage. The root comes from the French word heart. So Aries is so much about standing up for yourself. It's so much about the courage to proclaim, this is who I am and this is what I deserve. It's so much about the courage to set boundaries. And I'm going to guess not all of us have beautiful stories about moments where we have been able to stand up for ourselves and set boundaries. And all of us, myself included, have stories about times where we just could not find the courage to stand up for ourselves and to set boundaries. Because, of course, the obstacle to courage sometimes, the courage to stand up for yourself and set boundaries, the obstacle is fear. Fear maybe of hurting others. Fear maybe of making others angry at you. Maybe fear of being left alone if you stand up for yourself. If you become decisively bold, if you set boundaries. And so this is some of the work that we're going to be doing today. These are kind of the energies that we're working with. We're going to be exploring how we do and don't take a stand for ourselves, whether it's in our personal lives or a professional life. We'll be looking at the role that setting boundaries plays in our lives and doing some work around cultivating more courage around this and much more. And, you know, just side note, if you are a little bit of an astrological nerd like me, during this Aries full moon, which is all about setting the boundaries, finding the courage, standing up for yourself, being an individual, being independent, being bold and daring. Of course, the backdrop here is that the sun right now is in Libra, which is Libra's the peacemaker. She's the one who doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. She wants balance, and she wants everybody to get along, right? And so all of us have that duality inside of ourselves, right? We have that Libra, oh, the peacemaker, and sometimes she stands in the way of setting the boundaries and having the courage. And the work here is to have those two parts of us work together in harmony. So that's our work for today. And as we go in, I just want to invite you to take a moment to honor yourself for being willing to toe dip into this sacred territory, you know, these issues that we're going to be looking at today. So just take a moment and honor yourself. And by these acts and by our intentions, we name this space on this call safe and sacred. May it be a safe space for us to explore our boundaries. May it be a sacred space for us to cultivate the courage to stand up for ourselves. Together, we are a sister circle. We are a living, breathing mandala of transformation. Okay, so let's start with some toe dipping here. I'm going to give you some questions to journal on. Here's the first question. What are some places, current or past, where you've stood up for yourself? Where are some places, current or past, where you've really stood up for yourself? Jot some down. Next question, what are the places, current or past, where you haven't stood up for yourself? Where are some places, either currently or in the past, where you haven't stood up for yourself? And think about personal, professional, you know, any of it. And I'll just share, you know, for myself right now, there is a place where I'm not fully standing up. I have one of my daughter's friend's mothers has said some unkind things about my daughter, and because of this fear of making others angry and, you know, all of that, still working through to really stand up. Not even for me, but for my daughter right now. So what are some of the places, current and past, that you haven't stood up for yourself? And it doesn't have to be something dramatic either. Like sometimes it's really, like, you know, dramatic, but sometimes it's a client just consistently hasn't paid or hasn't showed up on time, and maybe you haven't done anything about it, even though it's been a big distraction in your work. Or maybe a friend or someone in your family consistently criticizes something that you're doing and you're just letting it slide. When in some ways it's not a big deal, but in other ways it kind of chips away at you a little bit, right? So it can be subtle or dramatic. Where are some places where you're not standing up for yourself? So take a look at the last question, the places where you haven't stood up for yourself, and I want to invite you to circle the one that's either, you've got a choice here, you can either circle where you haven't stood up for yourself, either the one that's the most current or the one that feels the most important to you, because we're going to work with one of them. So circle the one that you really want to work with today. And then for the thing that you just circled, the important, the place where you haven't stood up for yourself, next question is why? Why haven't you stood up for yourself here? So, you know, as I was sharing before with my current situation, it's a little bit, I don't want to make this woman angry, a little bit, you know, don't want to cause waves, but, you know, if I'm really honest with myself, another piece of it is also, like, my daughter wasn't a total angel in the situation, and shame isn't the right word, but I'm feeling a little, you know, niggly about that, that she wasn't a total angel. So why haven't you stood up for yourself? Now, whatever the why is, whatever the reason why you haven't stood up for yourself, I'd be willing to bet that there's a little bit of a limiting belief that's rolling around in that reason. So, for example, in my situation, one limiting belief is, well, you know, if I tell this woman that I don't appreciate how, you know, rude she's being, that, you know, that's rude of me, right? That it's not okay for me to be that aggressive or upfront with her, right? Or if we look a little bit at the shame piece, you know, a limiting belief in that one for me is maybe, you know, my daughter has generally a great kid, but she's done something maybe a little bit off, so that doesn't give me a right to defend her, to call an adult out who is being unkind. So if you take a look at your reason, what's a limiting belief that's rolling around in there for you? Next question, where did that belief come from? Who modeled it for you? Or what event happened that kind of gave birth to this limiting belief? How did it come to be inside of you? two more questions. The next one is, what's the boundary that wants to be set in this situation? What's the boundary that wants to be set in this situation? And then last journaling question, how will setting this boundary serve and support you? How will setting this boundary serve and support you? Okay, we still got a lot more to do, but I want to pause here, and I'd love to hear from a few of you what's coming up for you. What are you seeing? What's coming through here? Just want to also get a pulse to make sure you guys are with me, because we're going to keep on working. You know, we're going to kind of hero's journey, right? So we're going to keep on working with this. I just want to make sure you're getting some good stuff from the journaling. Rana.
Hey, Joanna. This is hitting super close to home. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to keep from bawling my head off.
And it's okay.
yeah. over the course of the last couple of weeks, I was made aware of some issues with a friend who I now know is a really high-functioning alcoholic and was really great at hiding the severity of it. And so as you're moving through these questions, while I've also been sitting with the anger and the shock around her behavior, which potentially could have really also put my son in danger. The awareness of how I've wanted to stand up for myself and obviously for my child through this, while still trying to find a shred of empathy and compassion for her as a result of this disease. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm looking at these questions that you just asked around the why, there's that sense of loyalty and loss of our friendship if I just completely cut her off, so to speak. And yet in so many other realms of her experience and her life and what I know of her, and some things that she's going through now that are somewhat similar to mine, both being cancer survivors is one quick example of that, and this limiting belief around, okay, I'll have to bless and release yet another friend, set these super hard boundaries, and once again, I'll be alone as a result of advocating for myself and other people I love.
Yeah.
And there are additional awarenesses coming up over these last couple of weeks about other people also afflicted with this disease as well. And so it's just a lot right now that's all up in my business, shall we say, literally.
Yeah.
From the business perspective and personally.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I really want to acknowledge that. I can hear how hard it is. I can just imagine it. It feels like it's impacting you in such big ways, of course. And there's so much in what
you shared.
There's so much in what you just shared, so much awareness and pain and all of it. One thing I want to ask you about right now is I heard the belief that you're going to have to cut yet another person out and be alone. And I'm wondering if there is maybe a higher wisdom truth here that's available to you.
Well, your question around, what were the events or the event, and I can go back to memories of my very, very, very early childhood around this, where I had to learn just how resilient mm-hmm. I could be and sometimes felt I had to be in terms of setting boundaries with people, including my dad and friends. And it seems to just be this like really vicious pattern. And with these new awarenesses, just over the last couple weeks, I'm in this place of, whoa, what is the reasoning behind all this? And seeing how I can at times really harness these energies that you spoke to in terms of setting really hard, really clear boundaries with people, even when I really love them.
Mm-hmm.
And also this desire to want to feel safe and get along, but not to do that at ultimately the expense of who I am. And I can see in some other areas, as I was writing these down based on your questions, where, yep, didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. I can, I know wheels were already churning even before coming into the space, and I can feel that more is moving through. I'll just offer this to you for now, and we can always follow up on it later. But, if it resonates, I just want to offer as a journaling question the following. It's not even really a journal. I don't know. It's a journaling prompt more than a journaling question.
Okay, sure.
What if I could set boundaries what if when I set boundaries, it didn't mean that I have to be alone?
Yeah, very similar to a question I was journaling on last night, actually.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you for bringing all of that
forward. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Start to. I'd love to hear one more share. What came through in the journaling for you? Christina.
Hi.
Hi.
I haven't spoken on any of these calls because I've either not been able to make it.
I'm so happy to hear your voice.
Too sick. This has been a really intense moon for me.
Yeah.
And I will probably get teary talking about this because I'm so angry. So it's interesting, before the call, I was running errands, getting lunch, kind of getting things set up to come back. So I was driving when you did the ritual, got here at my office, and you probably, I don't know if you remember if I was doing a class with you when I was going through the stalking, being stalked.
I do remember that.
Which is very intense and prolonged and methodical and strategic for 2 years. Every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, something would happen to my car, inside, outside, at my home, inside my office. And so I always, it took me after me getting out of my marriage for me to realize it was probably my husband. That's why it always would occur outside the range of wherever I set cameras, because he was a part of the whole thing. So I actually sent him a text before your call, and I said, why is it? He's the father of my kids. I had coffee with him this Sunday, walked away, left my keys in his presence, and the fob's broken, so the fob no longer connects to my keychain. And, of course, I'm beating myself up. You know, you can't trust this man. You can't even leave keys in his presence. And I haven't talked to him in at least a year. Why do I put myself in, you know, why do I sit down and have coffee with a predator? He has a nice side to him. So I'm really beating myself up about that. But I sent him a text and said, I've never confronted him at all that I suspected him because of fear. Could I be seen as the crazy mom? What would he tell the kids? And I just said, why is it that every time you're around, something bad happens to my car or something related to my car? And then the last person I dated, I recently was diagnosed with Hep C. That was 3 weeks ago. So now I'm almost like a teetotaler, and I have a liver disease. So I have to go see a hepatologist on Friday. This is not a path I thought I would be going. I think I can clear it energetically if I work on my anger and rage. So his liver is about anger and rage. So I had to inform my past sexual partner, and he kept saying that has to be a mistake. I'm like, it's not a mistake. He's super nice. He didn't end it that way, so I think he's guilty of passing it. I think he knew. It's just my intuition. And then as I'm putting the pieces together, I think he screwed around on me. And so I know some women in my life are like, let this new person he's with, this is her path, let her figure it out.
Yeah.
You know.
What,
and
with all of this, what are you, from the questions, what are you seeing through all of this?
I'm tired of being silent. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to tell her, I want to expose guys like this. I'm tired of being silent. And what I've been afraid of is like repercussions, like so many women that don't speak out when there's been violence incurred in their life.
I want you to write that down. I am tired of being silent. Write it down in your big letters, underline it, box it. That it feels like there's a lot of beautiful Aries energy that can come behind that and break up some patterns for you. I'll let you sit with that. Does that feel good?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that it feels really important. I'm so glad that's coming through, and I can hear that energy in your voice. Something is going to change there.
Thanks. Sorry for rambling.
Oh, no, it's okay. Okay, I know there are other hands raised, but we still have a lot of work to do, so we'll continue on. There'll be other opportunities for sharing. I want to take this work a step further now. Do a little bit of visualization, and I'll just tell you a little bit about the visualization before we go into it. The purpose of this visualization is to give you a safe and sacred opportunity and container to do boundary setting, whatever that means for you, or to stand up for yourself, whatever that means for you, in a way that feels really good and really right, with some courage at hand. And so the way that we're going to do this, and I'll lead you step by step through it, is first, we're just going to bring in, with Aries, I always think about our inner warrior, you know, the healthiest form of the warrior. The warrior knows how to set boundaries. For those of you that do yoga, think about all the warrior poses. They're very much about setting boundaries. So we're going to bring in your warrior to give you support and be by your side. And then from there, I'll lead you to really put yourself in a situation, you know, that you feel you can in this moment where you can just practice standing up for yourself or setting a boundary, whatever that means for you. And so with that, I'll invite you to close your eyes. Connect in with your body. Take a couple of nice deep breaths. In and out. And I invite you to call forward your inner warrior, the highest and healthiest and wisest expression of your inner warrior. And allow this one to come forward. Notice what your warrior looks like. Notice how this one wears their hair, what they're wearing, if they're wearing jewelry. You connect with your healthiest, highest, wisest expression of your inner warrior. Notice the expression on this one's face. Notice how this one holds themselves. And I invite you to really connect with this high expression of your healthy inner warrior. Maybe take their hands in yours. Really connect with the energy. And as you connect with your heartful warrior, with your highest expression of your healthy warrior, this warrior has a wise and sacred message for you. Ask the warrior what it is. You may see it, you may hear it, you may feel it. Just ask, what's your message for me? And take in the message. And next, ask your warrior to infuse your heart with courage and with love. Love for you and love for the other person or people in this situation. Ask the warrior to infuse your heart with courage and with love for yourself and others. Because we can love and stand up for ourselves at the same time. And so take that in. Maybe your warrior has their hand on your heart or whatever it is. Just really allow yourself to be infused with that courage and that love. And feel that it protects you. It's like a protective energy and coating for you. And then from that place, with your heartful warrior at your side, see the person or people that you are ready to set a boundary with or that you're ready to stand up for yourself in front of, see that person in front of you. Feeling your warrior at your side, feeling that protective energy, feeling the courage and the love in your heart, I invite you now, in whatever way is right for you, to be in your body as you set this boundary or stand up for yourself. I'll give you a few moments with that. Really give yourself permission to say what needs to be said with that courage and that love in your heart. And then after you've set your boundary, stood up for yourself, just allow that person or people to fade into the distance. Notice how you feel in your body for having set that boundary, for having stood up for yourself. You can turn again to your healthy, heartful inner warrior, really connect even more deeply with your warrior, and ask your warrior for just any other wisdom or message about what just happened or anything else that you need to know that's important for you. And then thank your warrior for being present and supporting you and protecting you. And let your warrior fade into the distance. And then return to your breath and take 3 nice deep breaths. 1, two, and on the third exhale, allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present. Awesome. So I'll give you just about a half a minute to just jot down any notes, anything that is important that you want to remember from that piece of work that we just did. Okay, so next you'll need your oil. And if you don't have oil, you can kind of use pretend oil here. And what I want to invite you to do is, if you're not already standing up, stand up with your oil. And what we're going to do, and we'll do it together, I'll just let you know first, this is an opportunity for you to bring in even more of that courage energy, that love energy, that warrior, high warrior, heartful warrior, healthy warrior, Aries energy. This is an opportunity for you to bring even more of that into you, for you to activate even more of it. And the way that we're going to do it, and I want to remind you with ritual, you know, it's like it's sacred play, right? So this is going to be as real for you as you allow it to be, as you make it to be. And so what we'll all do together, I'll let you know when, don't do it yet, is you can you'll take some of the oil and first just feel the oil on your fingers, and we'll have the oil symbolize that Aries energy, that courage, that love yet setting boundaries, that heartful warrior. And then together you can anoint your heart area and then any other area of your body that you want to really be infused with this energy, and just allow your body to open up and feel it come in, make it real. So as you're ready, take some of your oil. Really kind of feeling it, knowing that this is energy for you. This is courage energy for you. This is love energy. This is heartful warrior energy. And then as you're ready, in whatever way is meaningful for you, infuse it into your heart. Anoint your heart. Let your heart really take this energy in. And if you want to speak as you do it or say certain words or what you're infusing or a mantra that reminds you of all this, you know, whatever it is that's important for you to really infuse your heart, and you can bring more oil there to really infuse, or rub your heart if you don't have oil, just rub it in. And then if there's just any other part of your body that you know needs this energy, needs to be infused with this courage, just take one more moment, fuse that in. And then when you're done, taking a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And so now, hopefully with more courage moving through you, I invite you to get clear on what it is that you are ready to release for this full moon. It might be a belief or a fear or a habit or a relationship or an object. What is it that you are really ready to release? It's done. It served you and it served you well, but it's really not serving anymore. It's standing in your way. And whatever that fear or belief or habit or pattern or part of yourself or relationship or object, whatever that is that you're ready to release, as you're ready, you can take your salt, and we'll have your salt symbolize what you're ready to release. And I'll just tell you what we'll do before you do it. You can either go to the bathroom, you know, we'll eventually release the salt into the toilet. I think that's the best way. If you're not anywhere near a toilet, you can just release it down, like onto a piece of paper, and then, or release it into the garbage itself or onto a piece of paper and throw it out. And so what you're going to want to do is put the salt in your hand and really feel this thing that you're ready to release. Feel the weight of it. Feel all the ways that it served you, and also all the ways that it's holding you back now, all the ways that it's not serving you. And then you can honor it, and then when you're ready, very purposefully, let it go. Let it go into the toilet. Let it go into the trash. Release it. You could even flick your, I'm flicking my hands right now, you know, with the salt. Like, flick. Just let it go. Or maybe it's soft. Let it go softly. Whatever is right for you. And just let it go and let it go and let it go. And if you want, if there's any little salt left on your hands, you can even just, you know, rinse them. Just really let it all go. And then our last, well, before we go there, let's just all, when on the count of three, this will be for yourself and for all of us collectively. On the circle, on the count of three, we'll say, be gone, right? Meaning to just be, this thing is gone. So on the count of three, be gone. One, two, three, be gone. And then one last piece of work for the circle. I want to give you an opportunity to make, on this full moon, to make a sacred promise to yourself. So first just take a moment and get clear, what's your sacred promise to yourself? It could be anything, anything that feels most important for you. And once you're clear on your sacred promise, you can take your oil one last time, find the place on your body where you would like to make the sacred promise, and infuse that part of your body with this promise. May it be so. May your sacred promise to yourself be so. And taking a moment, just really allowing all of the anointing work that you just did and releasing work and sacred promises, just letting all of that integrate inside of you. And in so saying, the work of this circle is done, but really only just begun. May you return to your ordinary lives, extraordinary women. May you walk with the energy of Aries and your heartful warrior in your heart, knowing how to use and utilize your courage for good, knowing how to stand up for yourself and set boundaries, and trusting that as you do, it will only bring you closer to those you are meant to be with. Merry meet, merry part. And Mary, meet again. Deep breath in and out. Okay, so that will kind of mark the end of the ceremony part. I recognize I rushed through the last pieces a bit. I just want to say that and share that. And I I also recognize that maybe there's some sharing that wants to be done. So I definitely want to spend a lot of time for debriefing and looking at the facilitation skills and pieces and the curriculum pieces. But I'd love just to give 5 minutes right now for more personal, personal shares that want to come through just around the content of the circle and what you're really taking for yourself on a personal level from the work that we just did. So star two, Perdis.
Hi, so this is so powerful for me that after I put the oil on my solar plexus, this horrible pain that I had for like a couple of days off and on went away. So this is really powerful. So I don't want to take up too much space about this, but one of the things that I realized lately is that even though I come off really strong and powerful, I definitely allow people close to me, not treat me really well. My husband, I've allowed him to take over the finances and I guess you could say financially abuse me, not allow me access and treat me kind of like an infant if I want to use any money that's ours. So it's been interesting because when I met him, I was the one making 6 figures and he was making less than half. And then I helped him make money on part of what I was making, and then I took a step back. And I just realized that two things. One, there's a big piece of responsibility that I need to take for allowing this to happen. And that, yes, I have had some shame thinking, well, I don't make as much, so therefore I'm not as equal, so therefore I can't. But really there's another piece about, because this is when the warrior piece came in, and the warrior actually said to me, it was like a she-male. This warrior was not messing around. Like, you know how you see old-fashioned Indian look, in that position where their arms are crossed and their chin is straight out, and he was not messing around. And what I heard was that, taking care of yourself is paramount, and you know this as a healer, but also part of taking care of yourself is really taking care of your finances. Mm-hmm. So if you're knowing to not eat cake because you know that that cake is going to get you fat or affect your figure or your blood pressure or diabetes, you need to also know that when you're not being as mindful and on top of your finances, it's like the same kind of damage. So then the other piece I learned was about how being a warrior doesn't mean you have to be aggressive. And you did, implement that when you're saying heartfelt and courage, but what this warrior said to me was, if you shift your energy around finances and in the conversation and you have a more softer approach, he can too.
I love that. Such beautiful wisdom that came forward. I'm so happy to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Christina.
I just want to briefly say I moved from victim to self-sovereignty and self-agency, and I'm in my body now.
I just got chills. I'm so happy to hear it. I'm so happy to hear it.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Good. Love to hear one more personal share before we do our debrief. Star two, what are you taking for yourself? We're a little bit of a smaller group today, so don't be shy. Tiffany.
Hi there. I always love your rituals, so I'm just taking away, oh, a deepening into the bigness of the work and also like the smallness, like the accessibility of the work. And I don't know, I was approaching this one as I have with many of your rituals over the years, actually, Joanna. It's just like, oh, seriously, how many times can I let go of
things? Again! We have to look at
it
again!
God. And I, you know, I'm just saying that, like, on one hand with a little bit of laughter, on the other hand, yeah, it is a little bit of truth. Like, seriously, how many times can I let go of being small? And I don't know, it just feels iterative. It feels So my sacred promise is to let myself know what I know. And there's something about not being bigger or like the work. And the warrior said to me, enjoy the work. Like, actually, it was very funny to have my warrior say, have fun. Like, I did not expect that at all. And she said, enjoy the work. Because my fear or limiting belief is that it's just endless work. So anyway.
So it's funny because before you said the enjoy the work part, the question that was coming up in my mind that I wanted to ask you was, you know, I hear that it's iterative. And so that being said, what's going to be different this time? Mm-hmm. And my sense is that is a key right there, a key to enjoy the work.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah.
It feels like it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beautiful. Okay, so then from there, let's do a little bit of a debrief on the curriculum and the online facilitation pieces. Let's start with curriculum. So put your coaching hat on now, or your facilitator hat, or your practitioner hat. So if you just take a look at the curriculum throughout this circle, how did I develop the curriculum? What did you notice about the journey? What's you think back everything from Curriculum Lab and the journey, what did you notice about the curriculum development? Not sure if that's the best question there is to notice, but anything that you want to share about the curriculum itself that you're seeing? Inbal.
There are two things that stood out. I really loved how powerful the introduction was, just really bringing us not just to this full moon, but to all the moons and connecting that to the macro level of our connection to the moon as women and the potential for newness. So just all of that, I think, really helped set the container for, you know, like I could roll my eyes at doing like more boundary work, but it put in like a sense of like excitement and the potential for like revelation and possibility.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that forward. It's such an important piece, and it's related to Curriculum Lab. Just how I kept on saying, like, you know, those first steps before you even get to the actual journey, the setting of the foundation, the providing inspiration. Even though I didn't speak directly to resistance, you're absolutely right. Like, this is a sacred way that people meet over and over again. It speaks to some of that resistance as well. So that whole intro part were those first few steps. Awesome. And did you say there was a second piece that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about resistance, even around things like, I ended up taking like the biggest salt thing in the kitchen and like just olive oil, you know, that it was like, there's so many ways to be like, oh, I'm not prepared, but that you really also address those logistical resistances that can, that, you know, can be a distraction or an excuse for not really connecting to the moment.
Yeah.
Where it was basically like, even if you didn't have anything, you can totally do this and get what you need.
Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. And sometimes it's important. It's really important to, you know. And sometimes it's going to be about what you've brought. Sometimes it's going to be about if even if you don't have experience in this area, that's okay. You show up for where you are now, right? So you as a facilitator, you want to be thinking about where some of the resistances or places that people are just going to take themselves out of the game. And sometimes it's about addressing it directly, and other times it's just about addressing it in more subtle ways. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Christina.
Well, my curriculum is kind of all over the place in my head. And I fall into one of those spots where I'm just gathering information, going through the calls, finally kind of starting to get caught up. I think I have like 1.5 more to go. And it's changed as I've been listening to those. So I have some embarrassment around that. Like, I feel like I should be farther along. And where I was when I started, it's shifted in terms of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on it.
Yep. So I'll just say, like, for your own curriculum, that's good. You know, sometimes the shifting needs to happen, you know, before you're ready for it to be more organized or whatever it is. You're in an incubation period, and that's more than okay. Because, you know, so long as you're continuing to work on it, which it sounds like you are, and when we're together in person for a retreat in a couple of weeks, you definitely bring your curriculum to that. I'm more than happy to take a look with where you're
okay.
at. Or post it in the Facebook group. It's open for a few more days for the curriculum lab.
Thank you. I mean, even the methodology, I don't even know solidly what it is. I mean, I have tools.
Yep,
so,
that's okay. Let's see what you have,
yeah.
And we can start playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, other observations, and I'll open it up on the curriculum or journaling, the journaling question sequence or the visualization or how I've been handling sharing. Paradis.
I just thought it was so brilliant how you flowed into air, fire. So again, air is like mental learning, processing, the emotional with the fire, the spiritual aspect with the meditation, the water, and then also the element of earth, the physical learning, the processing, which, you know, is ritual. We did lighting a candle, but we also released the salt. So I loved how you just incorporated all those different elements. And I also loved, and Inbal touched upon this as well, but I really appreciated the fact that you had said, you know what, even if you don't have oil, just rub it in the heart. And I thought that was great because there was a moment where I was like, do I want to use this oil? It doesn't matter, does it? Like,
yeah.
Right? Can you start questioning? Am I doing it right? Maybe there's a better oil out there. So.
Yeah, that's great. And yes, not only did I use all four elements, but as they also relate to the four levels of transformation. Good. I'll share a little bit until the next person wants to raise their hand, but I want to hear more. What are you seeing? What can we pull out from this? I want to go back to the journaling question sequence. And just to kind of look at that. So if you look at the journaling question sequence, I started first toe dipping, right? So just very generally, and I started with something a little lighter, more positive. You know, where are the places that you've stood up for yourself? And I chose, you know, first, when I was first putting together the curriculum, the first question I had was, where haven't you stood up for yourself? And I decided to add the where have you stood up for yourself first, because I think it's important to always, you know, even if you're looking at places that are, or you're helping your clients look at places that are gaps for them, or places for more evolution, or to go deeper, for them to also see that they have a foundation already set, right? So that's why I started with, where have you stood up for yourself? And I asked current or past for a couple of reasons. One was just in case there weren't any current places, I just want to give you a lot of options so you didn't kind of come up with nothing for it, right? And then from there, then it was really easy to progress into, okay, so then where some of the places that you haven't stood up for yourself. And by the way, I already started asking these questions, whether you realized it or not, in the introduction, right, as I was talking about you know, Aries and what it means to set boundaries and stand up for yourself, right? So it's not like these questions just came out of nowhere. There was prep for them. Now, when I ask that question of where haven't you, I know that sometimes it's hard to admit, right? So a bunch of you already said, like, oh, my gosh, I've worked on this so much, and we're working on it again, right? And so I know that you can go into resistance around this. And so that's why I just very strategically gave you the example. I gave you the example for a couple of reasons, but one, I gave you my own personal example, not of something that happened in the past, right? I could have given you a million things that happened in the past, but I gave you an example of something that's happening for me right now, right? To also just model for you, like, hey, no perfection here. I'm still working on my stuff too. It's okay for you to still be working on your stuff and to identify where you may be having something going on right now. The other reason why I gave that example is just to give an example, right, to get some more ideas flowing. And then the circle question, you know, asking a circle is, okay, I knew that as I was conceiving this whole ritual, I had a sense that for this one, what would be really powerful is to work with one event that feels really alive for you. So we needed to kind of whittle it down to one thing to really work with. And then from there, once we had that thing, then I could ask questions around the why haven't you? And then, okay, when you look at the why, what's the limiting belief, right? So that you could start to see where some of the fears are, where there's some niggly places for you. And then the last couple of questions that I asked in the journaling, that was really about beginning to open up vision, to open up hope, for you to be able to see possibilities for yourself. What's the boundary that wants to be set? And how will that boundary serve you, right? So that there would be a compelling reason to even go forward with the rest of the ritual, so that you could really begin to see, like, where is it that I really want to be? Where is it that I want to go? Let me pause there before we look at any other pieces. Any questions on the journaling sequence, or any other thoughts or anything that you noticed about the journaling? Start to. Okay. What were your thoughts on the visualization? What are some of the things that you noticed in the visualization? What were some of the choices that I made there, and why? Inbal.
I was too slow with the journaling.
Oh, this is about the journaling still? Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to say that one thing that was helpful to me is asking us to focus on one thing, because it can be, like, really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the visualization, one detail that I noticed was around, like, the highest expression of it, the highest expression of the warrior. So
yes.
You were kind of giving that gentle reminder.
Yes.
You know, which
Why
I don't know if
I
was, like,
that?
To address resistance, you know, like, maybe to... To address resistance of, like, you know, fear of, like, just all these, the conditioning and judgments that we have around being aggressive or that, you know, it's just there, that it can't be done with love.
Exactly, exactly. I was very purposefully calling it the heartful warrior and the highest expression of your warrior. And I said that a couple of times because, you know, it just plays into everything that I was talking about in that introduction where even though we know, you know, quote unquote, we know it's good as evolved people to like have that warrior, we still may have these ideas of they're too aggressive and, you know, they're just vicious and, you know, they're cruel or whatever it is. So I very purposefully was just adding those pieces in. And then in terms of, you know, what you're saying on the journaling, it's overwhelming. You know, it's great to focus on one thing, absolutely. So there's a purpose to kind of creating a punch list of things, which is what I asked you all to do first. And part of that, the purpose is just for you to kind of see the scope of, you know, how you're holding the standing up for yourself or not standing up for yourself. There's value in that. But then if we want to really kind of go deeper to look at things, it is often really helpful to then pick one thing to focus on and you use as that focal point. So I'm glad you're bringing all of that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Who else? Start to visualization or journaling. What else do you want to pull out from those places? Got a couple minutes left. All right, let's see, what can I pull out for else from the visualization for you? So, Rana wants to share. Rana.
Yeah, Joanna, one of the things that it may have been subtle and in the moment, and yet it's something that I picked up on and that I also really appreciated was your willingness to even say, you know, here's a question, but it might not even be the best question.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do that sometimes with my clients too. And so I think it can be so subtle, but I also think that it can allow for that sense of safety in a way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely, safety.
You know, both for you as the coach and for the client, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think safety, and also tell me if this is a part of it for you, because I think it's a part of it for me too, is always putting the reins back in the hands of the participants or the clients. They ultimately know best, so if there's a better question, like they'll hear the better question in their mind or have a sense of it.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I ask this because in my business and, you know, so much of this moon energy in the language that I've heard you speak to is really addressing women and the feminine.
Yeah.
And I also work with men.
Mm-hmm.
And so this gives me some stuff to kind of chew on in terms of how do I make this just as pertinent and or adapt it for either males alone or a mixed audience.
Yeah, it's such a such a great question. And then there's like a whole spectrum of gender. So there's, you know, there's a lot of different considerations. And so I think the way I'll answer it is this, is I would think about it, a couple pieces. Number one way to think about it is less about gender and more about characteristics of your ideal client. So if your ideal client, no matter who they are, really introspective, are willing to see that what happens in nature impacts themselves, that they're part of the cycles of life, you know, then it may just be about taking out some language about wombs or, you know, whatever that is. But if your ideal client kind of doesn't have those tendencies, then it may be about not even talking that much, you know, going into much about the full moon and this and the that, but taking the lessons of it and presenting it in a different way. So I've definitely presented in more, you know, we could call it like a boardroom situations where I've actually done a full-on ritual, but people didn't necessarily realize that they were doing, the space felt sacred to them. They felt something so different. They were so present, but I wasn't using words like ritual and ceremony and moon. I was talking about releasing. I was talking about fullness, you know, all of those pieces. So I think it's about kind of knowing the characteristics of your audience. Is that helpful?
Sure. Yes, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know we're just at 4. Anything? There are a couple of more things I want to say, but anyone else just want to share anything about the work, what you're seeing, anything that you want to pull out? Star 2. Okay, I'll pull out just a couple of more pieces for now. So the visualization. Oh, you know, back to the journaling. I just want to say I didn't originally have the what's the limiting belief question in there. I had the why haven't you stood up for yourself? And then from there I had where did that belief come from? And I actually realized as I was asking you the questions, oh, wait, first they need to, I should know this, right? I teach this. But, you know, I realized, they need this question in the middle there. And I'm just sharing that with you, you know, for you to know, when you're facilitating, it's like you've got your curriculum that you've created, but you're going to know in the moment what's needed and what's not. Happens for me all the time. In the visualization, a couple things I want to pull out. So first is, when I first conceived of the visualization as I was preparing for this circle, the main purpose was to give you an opportunity to have that scenario with whoever you were going to stand up to or set a boundary with. I wasn't even thinking about bringing the heartful warrior in. But as I was thinking more about the visualization, what I realized was that you know, it could potentially feel like too much of a stretch, even in your mind, like even in your visualization, to set this boundary. You know, especially because we're doing this work very quick on these calls. It's not like it's a retreat where, you know, we're kind of pulling everything. You know, so I was thinking, so what's a quick way to create that sense of safety, of protection, to have that courage in the heart, you know, to be able to kind of stretch a bit and be on your edge. And I thought, well, let me just bring that energy in. If I can bring that energy in for you, then it will be easier for you to go into the standing up for yourself piece. So that's actually why I brought the Heartful Warrior in the first place. And then I'm sure you noticed, you know, I spoke about this in Curriculum Lab, the weaving together of signs and symbols and, you know, things coming back around. So I very purposely had the warrior infuse your heart with courage and love. And then we supported that again and, you know, made that stronger and came back around to that with the actual oil where you got to do that to yourself. And even in that sacred promise, it wasn't necessarily about the courage and the love, but it was, again, coming back to this infusing yourself, right? And I even actually inserted it into our grounding. Just I had a little piece there of, like, wherever your body needs some love, give it to you, right? So we're kind of setting up these themes of you can bring, you know, embodiment, bringing energy into your body. So that was done very purposefully. All right, I know we're past time, so just last piece for today, more of a housekeeping piece. I know that a month ago when I let you guys know about the Sacred Depths Coach Training, a bunch of you stepped in. Yay, I'm so happy. And some of you asked for more information. You wanted to learn more about the syllabus, you know, like what we were actually doing. And I just want to let you know I finally have created the syllabus. So as soon as that's final, I'll be sending that syllabus out to all of you so you can take a little bit of a deeper look at what we cover in Sacred Depths. All right. I am thinking of all of you. I'm wishing you a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.